1 Kings chapter 17 will begin about verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And that's where we'll stop reading. We'll go back to verse 12. It says, And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So this little thought came to us a few days ago. The Lord will help me for a few minutes. I'd like to preach to you on a handful. Now, I am not an expert chef. And I can cook a few things. And I have made a cake before a time or two out of a box. And I believe I could say that you need more than a handful to make any kind of cake. Right. Ladies that make cornbread, it takes more than a handful, I believe, to make cornbread. Or Wendy makes cakes for our after singing treat every fourth Sunday night. Probably takes more than a handful of flour to make those cakes or those cupcakes or whatever you're making. Handful doesn't sound like much, does it? It done. And here was a lady, and in her mind, this was all she had left. It was just a handful of meal, and a little bit of oil. She was going to make two cakes, one for her, one for her son, and they were going to eat it and die. And you might say, well, why was she so desperate? Well, because she lived in a land where a king was disobedient to God. You see, we like to live, and our society today has taught us just do what you want to do. Just live how you want to live, and you just enjoy life to the fullest, and there are never any consequences. When people turn against God, things happen. Ahab turned against God. And because Ahab turned against God, and I'll not go into everything that he did, but he married somebody that didn't believe in the Jewish God. And he brought in strange gods, and he worshiped them instead of worshiping the living God. And God wouldn't go put up with it. That's all a wonderful story out of the Old Testament, preacher. Yay, good for you. Okay. How many things do we set in front of God today? How many things do we put ahead of God? Well, preacher, I don't have any idols. I don't wear any wooden idols around my neck. I'm a Christian. I believe Debbie said we had 400 and something members. I've been your pastor 8 years. There has never been 400 people in this sanctuary since I've been your pastor. That's not unusual. Pick out any church you want. All of them have it. If you've got something more important to you than going to church, maybe you're not putting God first. I realize things happen. Emergencies happen. Johnny and Cookie were going to come, and I'm just going to talk, and I hope y'all don't be offended. Johnny and Cookie were going to come to church the other Sunday morning, and there was a medical situation, and they couldn't come. Things like that happen. But when I put what I want ahead of what God wants, maybe I'm not putting God first.
That's right.
Now, I can't speak for you. I said maybe I'm not putting God first. All I can speak for is for Mike. All right. A handful. Just a handful. And she was going to make a cake for her and her son. They were going to eat it and die. And why were they in such a dire situation? The king of Israel had disobeyed God. And in return, God had cut off the rain. He had cut off the rain. And here this man of God came down through there because God sent him. God had sent him to the brook, and God sustained him there for several days until the brook ran dry. How did God help him, preacher? He let the water run through the brook, and he sent ravens to feed him morning and evening. God will sustain his children if they put him first. And then he sent him down to this place, to this widow woman, to sustain him. And here she was, and in the country that she was in, it hadn't rained for a long time. No way to produce anything, to produce any meal or any flour or anything like that. She was down scraping the bottom of the barrel for the last meal in her mind she'd ever eat. And here came the man of God wanting something that was precious. First, he asked for a drink of water. If you read this story out, go and read the 18th chapter. Read about where that Ahab sent Obadiah to look for water. How their cattle and their horses were dying because there was no water. And here is this stranger asking a widow of all people for a drink of water. And more than that, she only had a handful of meal left, and he wanted some of that too. What's the flesh say? No. That's what the flesh says. Let me let you in on a little secret. Most of the time, when the Lord speaks and he wants you to do something, it's going to be something that goes against your flesh.
Amen.
Your first inclination, is this not right, Bobby Parker? I've got a lot of faith in you. I've felt the power of God in you over the years. Most of the time, the flesh is going to say, I can't do it.
Amen.
Most of the time, the flesh is going to say, Lord, let somebody else. I used to be pretty good at that. If it's you, Lord, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
I've done that. If it's you, Lord, let Becky sing such and such song.
Yeah.
And then she sings it. Well, Lord, if that's really you, let so and so give a testimony.
Bless him, Lord.
Listen, you know the voice of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's that voice that strikes fear in you.
And I believe if you move with the Spirit, there'll be some fear about you.
Amen.
Now you pray for me for a few minutes. Just a handful. So here she is with all she's got left. And the man of God asked for part of what she's got. But in order to please the Lord, she had to go against her inclination. In order to please God, she had to go against what she wanted to do. You see, friend, flesh and blood is an enmity against God. You can't please a carnal mind is an enmity against God. You cannot please the Lord in the flesh.
That's right.
Now, how do you know, preacher? Well, ask Cain. You remember Cain and Abel, don't you? And I'm just going to talk for a minute. I hope the Lord will come by.
Bless
you. And you pray. Ask Cain. Abel brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. He gave what he had, and then he gave some more. But Cain's offering was of the ground, wasn't it? What is the ground? It's the dust. And what are we made of? Dust. You see, you can't please God in the flesh. If you please Him, you'll have to give Him something that goes against the flesh. All right, pray for just a minute, would you? So a handful. So she went and did as the man of God asked her to. She brought him a little bit of water, and she made a cake for him and brought it to him. And here's what happened. Now, we've seen what happened when you disobey God. When the king Ahab disobeyed God, times got hard. You all, preacher, all help me bless my soul. The way of a transgressor is hard. Now let's see what happens when you obey God. When you obey God, when the widow woman obeyed God, what the prophet said came to pass, and the barrel of meal it sustained them for many days until the rain fell and the cruse of oil lasted until the rain fell. In other words, because she obeyed God, she was blessed. You see, you don't have to have a college education to please God. You don't have to have $1 million in the bank to please God. You don't have to have the prettiest face. Just look at this old ugly thing to please God. But what you do have to have, however little you think it is, give it to God and He can use it to be a blessing.
Amen. Bless Him.
All right. Just a handful. Now, some Bible scholars might get me over this one.
Bless Him, Lord.
Let's go back to Genesis. We went to chapter 4. Now let's go back to chapter 2.
Bless Him.
We read where God created the heavens and the earth.
Yep.
And what does it say about folks like us? It said He formed God, formed man, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. So if you disagree with me, I can understand, because the Bible doesn't say this specifically, but I believe in my mind I can see God, and when He gets the dust, it's just a handful.
Amen.
It's not much to look at all.
Lord help me.
It don't have any value. Most people would discard it and cast it aside. If it landed in your hand, you might just flick it away, and that'd be the end of it. I could see God reaching down with His hand and picking up a handful of dust.
Amen. Bless Him.
And He molded it, and He made it in His likeness and in His image. And when he had it exactly the way he would listen. Now, I know folks will look at us sometimes and they'll swirl their nose, or they'll look, don't like the way we act, or they don't like the way we talk, or they don't like the way we dress. But there's one good thing about every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever drawn a breath. They are in the image of God.
Listen.
And when he got it just the way he wanted it, just that handful of worthless dust. That dust that a lot of us would cast aside and throw away, he breathed on it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm still worth very, very little. Now, some of you may identify with me on this. They gave me a certificate today. We had a countywide meeting. They gave me a certificate today, and everybody else had had a certain number of years in. 26 years with Jefferson County Schools. And in all those years of working, I'm to the point in my life now where I look around and think, what did I do with all that I made? Look at how little that I have out of all those years that I've worked.
Blessing, Lord.
You see, time gets by on us.
Amen.
Blessing. And all I've got to hold on to is what I found as an 8-year-old boy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Carolyn Buckner quoted me this verse. For I know whom I have believed.
Amen.
And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that.
Amen.
That I've committed unto him against that day.
Amen.
I may not look like much to you. The world may just want to toss me aside and cast me out with the dust, sweep me out the door. They may not want to think much of this old boy, but I've got news for you. I'm one of God's little children. And God loves this little handful of dust.
His heart.
Thank you, Lord.
Just a handful. All right. I read in God's Word about a woman named Naomi. She and her husband came upon hard times down in Bethlehem, Judah. So they picked up stakes, them and their two boys, and they moved to Moab.
Blessing.
And Moab wasn't what they thought it would be. Listen, when you move away from Bethlehem, Judah, when you walk away from God's people, when you leave the church, it's never going to turn out as good as you thought it would.
Amen.
And while they were down there, and I would pray that you already know this story, but some of you may not have read it. And I'm afraid that we've lived to a day, and this doesn't cost you any extra. I'm afraid that we've lived to a day that we depend on what we see on the TV, that we depend on what we see on the internet, and we never pick up the Word of God.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Come on.
While they were down there, Naomi's husband was there, the two sons were there, and they married girls. And her husband died. And then each of her sons died, and she was left there by herself with the two daughter-in-laws. And she said, why don't you just, my words, just try to get there. Why don't you just take yourself and go back to your families? And Orpha kissed her and went back to her family. That was one of the daughter-in-laws But the other daughter-in-law named Ruth said, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to stay where you stay. I'm going to lodge where you lodge. And nothing but death will separate me and you. And your God shall be my God. And so they made, you know what they had to do in order for Ruth to, be introduced to Naomi's God? Naomi had to go back down where she started, down to Bethlehem, Judah. She went back down there and she came back in. And some of the folks there said, why, there is Naomi. And she said, call me not Naomi, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. And she remembered that while she was there, that she had a dear kinsman named Boaz. Times were rough. And so she sent Ruth down to glean the fields. You know what glean is? After the reapers have walked through the fields and they have gathered the crop, folks gleaned. What's that mean? That means what was left. After the reapers went through the fields, folks took the leftovers of what the reapers rejected. Just a little bit. Oh, it may not have been a perfect ear. It may not have been fully developed. And so they left it on the stalk. And the ones that gleaned came in and picked that ear of corn, you might say. And so there was Ruth down there in Boaz's fields gleaning. And he asked who she was. And when he found out who she was and what he had done for his dear kinsman, he said, don't you go to any other field. You come back anytime you want to and glean only in my field. And then he talked to the reapers and he said, I want you when you're reaping, just leave a little handful of purpose for her. Oh, aren't you glad along life's way when the saints of God, I may not always be full. I may not always be on the mountaintop. There may be times I go through the valley, but I can look back at preachers that's been in my life, at saints of God that's been in my life, at the blessings that they've left for me, and they did it on purpose. God, they wanted me to be sustained along life's way. They might not have felt like it was much. But the little handful they left was enough to sustain this old boy.
Amen. Come on now.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
It's like the song you sang, Faye. Thank you for the roses you've placed in my life.
Amen. Thank you.
I'm just going to tell this. Years ago, when I was just a small boy, there was a quartet that came to sing. They were the True Gospel. Some of you older folks may remember them.
Bless the Lord.
And there were several from the church went to hear them about a week before they were to come to Rankin. The guy that sung with them, he said, there's several folks from Rankin. We're going to be there next Sunday morning. He said, we're going to have a rose service. It was about summertime. He said, everybody, if you got any roses that you're growing, he said, I want you to bring them. And that Sunday rolled around, and there was roses laid all up on the altar. And they got up to sing, and he said, now, if somebody's been a blessing to you, you need to give them flowers while they're living.
Yeah. Amen.
There was tears. People had roses all over them.
Yep.
You know why? Because they had made an intentional gesture to leave a handful. Just a handful. Oh, friends.
Praise the Lord.
Pray for me for just a minute,
bless
longer, will
Lord.
You?
Bless him, Lord. Bless him.
We read about the Pharisees in the New Testament. I wish I could quote it exactly. Talks about how they made their prayers out in the streets. Great swelling words for everybody to hear. And Jesus said this. He said, they have their reward.
Amen.
You know what their reward is? The admiration of the crowd. The admiration of the people around them that heard how intelligent they were, that heard their great words.
Bless him, Lord.
He said, but when you pray, enter into the closet, and he that saith in secret shall reward thee openly.
Amen.
And then he continued on, and he said, our Father, when you pray, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My name don't mean nothing, but his is everything.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's not about me. It's all about him.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Give us this day.
Bless him.
I don't need to worry about tomorrow. God, just help me get through today.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We don't like to talk about that part, do we? But if we're going to be right with God, we got to forgive one another.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Bless you, Lord.
We like John 3:16. Well, this part's in there too.
Amen.
Help
him,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
It says if you can't forgive your brother of his trespasses, neither will God forgive you of yours.
Amen. Amen.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I've been, and I guess I made mention of this the other day, I've been to big worldly events and graduations and ball games and things like that. And it's a pretty prayer. But you can tell somebody's taking the time to sit down and write that out.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well call it a poem.
Because
it's not a prayer.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Listen, friend. We know not what we ought to pray, except the Spirit give us utterance. Now, I try my best to talk to the Lord when we have altar prayer, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I try my best to talk to the Lord before I go to bed at night. First thing when I get up in the morning, during the day, I'm going to be really, really brutally honest with you. I can't call all of them prayers. I go through a form. I go through my little repetition. But every once in a while, when I've gone about as far as I can go, my heart is broken, and it's hurting for my brother or sister, or I'm just in between a rock and a hard place and can't take one more step. Every once in a while, the Spirit will come by, and I can talk to the Lord. Listen, prayer is not, I won't, I won't, I won't. Prayer is not, thank you, thank you, thank you, although it's a good way to start.
Amen.
Here's what prayer is. It's a conversation when you talk to God and he talks to you.
Amen.
When my heart hears nigh to them, they're all a broken heart.
Amen.
Whenever I'm broken and I pour my heart out to him, there have been a few, just a handful of times I've been able to talk to him, and he talked back. What did he say to you, preacher? He spoke peace to my soul. What did he say to you, preacher? I've got you. What did he say to you, preacher? He said, you're blessed. What did he say to you, preacher? Oh, you got joy. You play where I brought you from.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't, I've not had that experience, preacher.
Help him, Lord.
And I wouldn't have had it either if I didn't know him.
Amen.
I can't talk to a stranger the way I talk to the Lord. You know how I can talk to him? Because he's my father.
Amen.
I know him. I speak to him. He speaks to me.
Yes. Amen.
So good.
Thank you,
preacher. Not every time.
Just a
handful.
Amen.
All right, let me get down here.
Bless you, Lord.
So good.
Bless you.
Did you know the Lord's going to come back?
Amen.
If I said, do you believe they'll ring the bell and Dow Jones stock trading will open tomorrow morning? Had you raise your hand, most of you'd raise your hand. Or we could go simpler than that. The weather forecast says 80% chance of rain tomorrow. They've talked about thunderstorms, maybe some bad storms. If I said, if you believe it's going to rain tomorrow, based on what you'd heard on the news, most of you would raise your hand. The sad part of it is, if I said you believe the Lord's coming back, most of the world would laugh at that.
Yes.
That's true, man.
You see, friend, and I know John said there's a number no man can number, but let's turn back in the book. Let's go back to Matthew and maybe Luke. This is in there. It says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. Now listen, Bible readers, is this in there?
Amen.
That leadeth to life everlasting. And how many did it say was going to go in?
Few
there be that go in thereat. But broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Now, I am not perfect. I'm far from that, Philip. I have failed the Lord and disappointed Him and let Him down over and over. Well, I know where I'm going. Thank you, Lord. Oh!
Bless Him, Lord.
Help Him, Lord.
Help Him, Jesus.
But when the Lord comes back, He said, I would not have you ignorant brethren concerning them which are asleep in the Lord, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and a shout. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us that are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Not everybody is going to heaven. That's such a shame, because there is a place for everybody in heaven.
Amen.
He made a place for all humanity, but only the ones that are saved by the blood of Jesus are going. And I want you to know this, when He comes back, there'll only be a few, just a handful. But I may be holding on, Bobby. I may be just caught on the nail of the little pinky. But I'm going to be in His hand.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank
you.
Amen.
Bless
you,
Jesus.
Thank you.
Bless you. You know what He's going to say? Thou hast been faithful over a few.
Yeah.
So if you need a comparison,
here's
all the times I've been unfaithful.
Yeah.
And then here's the times that I've been faithful. Thou hast been faithful over a few things.
Yeah.
Just that handful.
Yeah.
Lord, how many more I should have been faithful. But just a handful is all I've been. Shame on me. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter in. Enter in to the joys of the Lord. Now I'm a dumb somebody. We've been having in-service this week. New Year brought in all the schools in the county. One day this week, and I met with just the high school. And I looked around. They had us line up according to years of service. There was once a time when I was over there with all the faces that looked like these two right here. But this week, I was on the other end of the line. I was about the fourth one from the last. You see, time. Well, let me just get this. I just turned 57. And some of you older folks will say, that's nothing. You just wait. You just wait. But you know how many memories I have just come to me like that, just in a heartbeat? Just a handful. Just a few, just a handful. What did Job say? He said life was like a vapor. And I may wind up like my dad. You know how genetics are. I turned gray about 25. That's the way he did. I've got this round thing in the middle, that's what he was. If you check my blood sugar, it's probably going to be running a little high because he had diabetes too. You see, friend, in his last 4 or 5 years, he developed dementia. If genetics run their course, that might be me as well. And these handful of memories that I have right now, I may not even remember them then. But there's a place where my name is written down.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a place, Bobby.
Amen.
I believe I'll never forget when Jesus spoke to me. What's that song we sing? Jesus spoke to me. Praise his holy name. That one little time in the speck of dust that is the life of Mike Strange. All the things and events that have happened in my life, that little speck of dust, that day when I heard Jesus speak peace to my soul, when he saved me through his marvelous grace, in a whole handful, that one little speck is enough to get me from earth to glory.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus saved you? The widow woman just had a handful. But when God used it and blessed it, that's more than enough.
Amen.
God just took a handful of dust. And you say, well, a handful ain't much. What can you make with a handful? Here's a handful.
Here's a handful. There's a handful. There's a handful. And there's a handful. You put all those handfuls together, you can create something pretty special.
Amen.
Right.
You know what he made with a few handfuls? He made the bride of Christ, the church of the living God.
Amen.
And I'm glad a few more of them specks in that handful was left for purpose.
Amen.
For me. Because I had some dear kinsmen. I had some brothers and sisters. I had one that went all the way to Calvary for me.
Amen.
Left me some handfuls of purpose along life's way. Amen. They drove nails in Jesus' hands, didn't they? You know what he was still able to hold on to? This little handful. Aren't you glad? Preacher, I got it together. I got it going on. Well, I'm glad you do, because I know the Lord took a handful of dust and made Adam. And you just call me Adam. Because his hands is still on me.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm sure sometimes he says, that boy's a real handful. I've heard parents say that, now this is a handful.
Yeah.
That's what my father says about me too.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I can still call him my father.
Amen.
I'm glad he still calls me his son.
Amen.
Just a handful. The Lord can make something great out of you, even though you might just be a handful.
Amen.